right, Song of Solomon, 1 month down, one chapter down. And I would remind you that for many of us, including me, because this took me a long time to get to this, we were so afraid that the Song of Solomon was nothing more than about sex. And it will be starting next week. So you get the choice of, hey, I will see you next Sunday, or I will see you in November. That's going to be your choice, but I promise you, we need to talk about it, and we need to discuss it. It's going to be very easy to come up with reasons either not to be here, or once you're here, to not really pay attention. It is a challenge, but if you notice, including today, that will be five sermons where they're not even married yet. We've talked about their relationship even before they get to the act of physical intimacy. Because if you think that that's all that sex is in marriage, is physical intimacy, it's not going to end well for you. The foundation for all of this, for everything in our relationships, is intimacy. Whether it's us with God, us and our spouses, us and our kids, us and our parents, us and our friends, it's intimacy. And the thing that we're going to see today is that there are things that get in the way of us continuing to remember to build that foundation of intimacy. Okay? Just like I had a conversation the other day with one of the parents of Danielle's volleyball teammates that I'm getting to know, and he and I were talking, and he said, wait, how long have you and your wife been married? I said, 28 years, 29 in May. And he said the exact words that I'm about to tell you. He goes, "Ooh, that's hard." And I said, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because a lot of people think that, oh, you guys have been married almost 29 years? You're so lucky. No, we have worked hard to get this far. And it's still hard. Do you know why? Because you constantly have to build the foundation. You simply just don't say, okay, we're married, that's it. You have to work hard. And that's why we have spent an entire month and this morning talking about that foundation before you have that physical intimacy. And we've already talked about the second sermon of the series about our insecurities. Either our insecurities trump or go over top of or identify our intimacy and ruin it, or our intimacy is so great and so godly that it overcomes our insecurities. It's especially difficult when we've been burned in the past, when we've been hurt in the past, either in an intimate relationship with another person, or a family member has hurt us, or some stranger has hurt us. That is hard. And especially if, like many of us here this morning, we have an ex or exes, because we tend to drag that into our relationship as well. I love the story, and I know you've heard it, about the guy that was walking along the beach and poof, kicks an old rusty lamp, and he picks it up and he starts rubbing it, and poof, out comes a genie. And it's a true story. Genie says to him, I will grant you three wishes, anything you want. But whatever you ask for, your ex-wife gets double. He goes, I don't believe you. I want $1 million. Poof! $1 million. His phone buzzes. Bzz, ha, 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 from his ex. You're not going to believe this. I just got $2 million. You're not going to get any of that. He's like, man, that's not cool. I want a mansion. Bzz. He pulls out his phone. His ex-wife texts him, I just got two mansions. Ha, ha, ha. You're not going to get any of it. And the genie said, no, you only got one wish left. Really think about this. Your ex-wife's going to get double. And he went, I want you to scare me half to death. And that's what we tend to think of with exes. When things are good, yeah, no phone call. When things are good for them, when the things are bad, we're like, and we drag that into our current relationships. Oh no, I've already done. No, you have not. We drag that, and it affects our intimacy now. Whether it's ex-spouses or ex-dates or a family member that has hurt us or a bad relationship with a parent or a bad relationship with a kid, and it begins to impact, that pain begins to impact us dealing with our intimacy. Okay, those things tend to just happen. And as I've shared with you, Deanna and I's 20th year was rough. And part of that was she was going through her master's degree program. And that was something that took time away from everything. And of course, I'm running like I normally am all over the place doing different things. And we had a kid in high school and a kid in junior high. A kid that would run high school track and junior high track. And we would look at each other and go, okay, two track meets, same day. You go high school, you go junior high, and that's what we would do. It was Zoom all over the place. And that began to impact our intimacy. That's how easily it happens. And it begins to erode and crack down the foundation. The same thing with our relationship with God. Boom, I'm a baptized believer. I go to church every Sunday. That does not mean that you have a continuing intimate relationship with God. There are things that continue to chip away at the foundation, and if we're not careful, sooner or later, as you're about to see, the foxes get in the vineyard. And what do? And as I share with my Sunday school class this morning, the great thing is Scripture loves to point out how we screw up and how we can solve it as well, and the role that God will play in it. Let's, for this Sunday, continue to build that foundation. By the way, the honeymoon is next week. Oh, yeah. I am recorded at our wedding on May 21st, 1988. Right? Here in Van Wert. Can you believe it? Last century when we got married. I'm standing in line, and her uncle put a microphone on me so that I could be recorded as people are coming through the line, and my stepbrother says, aren't you glad the wedding's over? And I said, yes, because women can't wait for the wedding. I can't wait for the honeymoon. It's recorded. It's on tape. All right, so maybe I'll show it just to let you know. But we have to build that foundation stronger, and here's how as we open up our Bibles. Open up your Bibles to the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 2. And I know what you're going to say right away. Aren't you skipping verses? Yep, because we're starting in verse 8. I will be coming back to those first couple verses, because I think throughout centuries the church has gotten these verses wrong. But I will be talking about them as we go through the month. And as I said, yeah, we are going to end this month because a lot of it is repetitive, but that's life, right? But we're just not going to keep, you know, hammering it home. All right, first thing that I want you to look at is verses 8 and 9, the thing that we have to do to continue to build a strong, intimate relationship with our spouses, our friends, our family, God, is we have to watch for dates. Listen, says his fiance. Listen, my beloved, look, here he comes, leaping across the mountains, I doubt it, leaping across the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved, verse 9, is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall like a creeper, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. That's creepy. How excited in these verses is she to see Solomon for the first time that day? Look at the verse. How excited is she to see her fiancé? Do you see the exclamation points? She is excited. Look! There he is! So excited! If you are not married or haven't been married, probably one of your hopes and dreams is, oh man, I can't wait to wake up and see her there. Okay, good luck. So it's not like you think it is. But you cannot wait to see this person. You cannot wait to be with this person. And if you're not careful, over time, that foundation of, I am so excited to see him. I'm so excited to be in her presence. I'm so excited to brag to everybody around me. Look! Look at him just jumping over mountains. Right? He can do anything. And quickly it becomes what, if you pay attention to people around you, when you're walking through a mall or Walmart or whatever and you see people talking, so many times I hear, ugh, I cannot do a thing with him anymore. Right? And that's what it becomes. She looks for the opportunity to celebrate his presence. And I love that. We dream about how romantic it can be to see that, and then we get busy, and then we get frustrated, and our insecurities begin to work in. Now, for me, I cannot wait until my wife gets home. The reason being now is because she can help me take care of Naomi. Because sometimes I'm just tired and I'm like, oh. And then she comes dragging in, right? And Mo is tired because Naomi decides, yeah, I'm not sleeping tonight, right? And so then we're all tired and I'm thinking, oh man, I cannot wait for her to come home so she can take Naomi. And she comes in. What's she been doing all day? Nothing. She's been playing with kids. That's it. That's all she's been doing. Thank you, Becky. Right? Kim is just glaring at me. Right? That's it. That's what they do. Right? And that just begins to... Yeah, Doug, we know what you do all day. It begins to eat away, if you're not careful, at intimacy. Because then we're all tired and we're all dragging, and if we're not careful, we no longer look for the opportunity to be excited to be together. Part of the challenge with this whole sermon series is me facing an intimate relationship with God that I claim that I have and I'm not sure that I do. Not his fault. But if Scripture is true, that God's mercies are new. Do you remember when they're new? Every morning. I don't really begin my day with him anymore. I can remember a time in my life with my relationship with God that I could not wait to wake up. That I could not wait to wake up, dig into the Scriptures, and just read what he might reveal to me. I don't know if Keurig and coffee have destroyed that, because that's the first thing that I look forward to when I wake up. Right? And that intimacy between me and him, I've let that go. And I don't really look for that anymore. Why don't I wake up and look for God to reveal his mercies to me? For him to reveal to me, hey, I love you. No matter what you've done, no matter what you thought, I love you. Solomon, by the way, in verse 13, in the next couple of verses, he says, hey, baby, come with me. He cannot wait to spend time with her. The creeper peeping through the fence. When is the last time you deliberately set it up so that you could be alone with your spouse? I did not say it was easy. Literally, you would say to me, what you don't understand is, please, who remembers me saying, I cannot wait for my empty nest? Anybody remember that? Josh is gone, wherever in the world he is, literally. Danielle will be in Bluffton. That's far enough away. Woohoo! Empty nest. Naked me walking around my house. Don't have to do anything. How'd that turn out? Deanna and I are going to have all the free time in the world. Right? She's going to be able to come home and woohoo! Woohoo! And then what happened? Mo. At 50. I did not think that I would hear at 3:30 in the morning, what was that sound? Oh, that's Naomi. Right? But I'm willing to do it. It's family, isn't it? But that's one more thing that can take away from Deanna and I spending time together. Naomi to me and Mo to me is not one more thing. They are part of the thing. They're family, okay? But if I'm not careful, they're not my spouse. And we can sacrifice too much of our time for a good thing, but we have to be very, very careful about it. And it's great because we have honest and open communication about it, and the same thing with Mo. You know, we try to provide time for her and Naomi, her alone, for the girls to go do something. We try to do that, but we have to be very deliberate about it. It is hard to pull it off. So, verse 14, we have to watch for danger. Now, this is Solomon speaking to his fiancée. Anybody remember what her greatest insecurity was? Remember? Her skin. Her dark complexion. She felt insecure about her looks. Her friends were like, "You're good looking." Solomon's like, "You look like a horse." You know, he just continued constantly. Everyone around her is saying, "You got it going on." She doesn't feel. I want you to notice the danger of her insecurity in these next two verses. I want you to notice. Verse 14, this is Solomon speaking. "My dove in the clefts of the rock." What's she doing? She's hiding. "In the hiding places on the mountainside." Show me your face. I'm ugly. Show me your face. Not only your face, but your voice is sweet. And your face is lovely. Sometimes, fellas, to battle those insecurities that our brides have, we constantly have to remind them, "I don't care what anybody else thinks. You are absolutely stunning. You are beautiful to me." Not only, he says face twice. Did you notice that? You think she's a little insecure about her face? But man, I just want to hear your voice. Isn't that awesome? Verse 15. Here's where we go on the offensive. Here's where Solomon realizes if we're not careful, everything will fall apart. These insecurities will continue to dig, and our intimacy will fall apart. Here's the danger. "Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes," interesting, "that ruin the vineyards, for our vineyards are in bloom." Verse 14 is interesting to me in that we find her hiding. She cannot wait to see him. He cannot wait to be with her. "Come with me." "I don't want to go out." "Why not?" "You know why. Honey, seriously, you look beautiful. Man, I'd love to hear your voice. I cannot wait to come home just to hear your voice. Come on, come with me." "I don't want to." And it begins to eat away at the intimacy. And Solomon says, okay, a couple things we got to do. Number one is we're going to catch. We're going to do Pokemon Go first century style, right? We're going to catch them all. We're going to pay attention to all these insecurities. And by the way, it is so much easier to hide, isn't it? "I'm just going to stay home. Someone hurt my feelings. I'm going to go to another church." It's easier to hide. It's so much easier to hide. It's easier to find reasons to be distracted, right? It's so much easier. So we have to pay attention and catch the foxes. Those things that want to come in and steal. our intimacy and our attention and our joy. And Solomon says, not just the foxes, how big? The little foxes. The things that we don't think are that big of a deal, but will be a big deal and will absolutely destroy the foundation of your intimacy. I've told you before, when I actually work in an office, that is funny. When I actually work in an office, it was nothing for me to flirt with the girls in the office. To me, it was a game. I never thought anything about it until one day somebody said to me, it may not mean anything to you, but it may mean the world to them. And I began to hear more and more about why guys who are married should not flirt. And Deanna can tell you, I stopped. Stopped. Because I was not willing to let that be a problem for me, even though I thought it was a little, but a big problem for someone else. Does that make sense? Those little things that begin to dig into our intimacy, we have to be careful. Do not hide. When God is calling you in His relationship and going, hey, it's morning, I want to tell you how much I love you, how much my mercies are just going to wipe out all the problems you have, and you're like, well, God, if only. Don't hide. It's going to hurt. Don't hide. Do not disappear these next 3 weeks. Do not come up with reasons not to be here. Do not come up with reasons to be distracted. It is so much easier to hide and not grow. He wanted to see his bride-to-be. He wanted to hear her voice. He wanted to remind her she is sweet. She is lovely. And that's the beauty of the power of grace. When we doubt our worth, God shows us the cross. Every Sunday, the way that God shows you here that He loves you, outside of the songs, man, the songs are so good. You ever pay attention to the songs that are playing during offering and communion? Oh, man. So powerful. It's communion. Every single Sunday, He says, here's how much I love you. All this doubt that you have about yourself and about me, here's how much I love you. We can take the offensive against what these little foxes want to ruin. Did you notice it's when the vineyards are in bloom? Man, things are good. Man, things are happening. Man, things are good between me and her. Aren't you worried about... No! Not worried about nothing. And Solomon says, you better be. Because those little foxes want to creep in and destroy what you think is good. It is when things are great is when Satan is annoyed. And he will come after us. The father of lies, the one that has come to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus tells us in the book of John. And tell me that does not happen to our relationships. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy our happiness. Now, some of you are, speaking of being annoyed, you're really going to be annoyed with verse 16. Verse 16 is where it's all at. But you're not going to like it, some of you. My beloved is mine. He belongs to me. And I belong to him. I love that. Love that. Nobody owns me. Okay. Take a step back, insecurity person. In the beauty and purity of an intimate relationship, I love the fact that I belong to someone and that she belongs to me. There it is. I love that. God is in verse 16. I own you. You belong to me, and I belong to you. What little foxes have crept in to destroy your happiness? What little foxes have become big foxes because they have just munched away at all your insecurities and destroyed your happiness in your relationships and your happiness and security in God? What's your little fox that you realize now has come in and just destroyed everything? For our invitation this morning, I'm going to encourage you to talk to God about that and to bring those insecurities, those little foxes, down front. Let us surround you, pray with you, and allow your insecurities to be wiped away by His mercies that are new this morning. Let's stand together and sing our closing song.
A vow that is tested, like a covenant of old. Your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. And faithful you have been, and faithful you will be. Pledge yourself to me, and it's why I sing. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. You father the orphan, your kindness makes us soul. And you shoulder our weakness, and your strength becomes our own. And now you're making me like you, clothing me in white, bringing beauty from ashes. For you will have your bride, free of all her guilt, and rid her of her shame, and known by her true name. And it's why I sing. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips.
So God, I wish that I could claim that that is true, but I'm constantly in awe of you and praising you. I want you to do so much for me in my relationship with you that I forget what I should be doing. God, it's the same with me and Deanna, or Danielle, or Josh, or Mo, or Naomi, the people here. What can I do, God, to praise you more often, to praise my loved ones more often for what they mean to me? May I be the one that catch the foxes and kick them out. Help me do so. It's in Jesus' name I pray.